I'm referring to, since there are many handouts, is entitled Board of Examiners for Speech Language Pathology and Audiology Legislative Fifth Law. If we'll turn to page 2, it gives a brief outline of what the agency does. The agency issues license to qualified applicants, implements professional development requirements, renews licenses, and investigates complaints from the public. The size of the budget is 100% other funds. It's $153,568. Revenue sources are primarily from license fees, and there's some other miscellaneous fees. On page 4, there's a chart that is a bar chart. Historically, the actuals and estimated and governor's recommended amounts are down below. I understand the bar charts themselves are a little in error, so the numbers, though, are correct that show the trend there. Factors that drive costs. Inflation, as with all salaries of state employees, is a major factor, cost of living. The demand for services is a large function of the number of technician applicants, and different things drive the number of people that want to be in this business. The wages, certainly, that they can command, the demand for their services, which is patient growth. Changes in technology will also affect the administration of the board and the things that they're able to do, and e-commerce is part of that. Back on page 1, we'll note that there are no budget notes that carried over for this agency or audit reports in the last 2 years. There were no interim reports or studies required. There are no fee increases anticipated. There was one item in the last legislative session where the network administrative support funds were unscheduled, but in February of 2000 at the emergency board, the appropriate amount was rescheduled so that that work could continue. The relevant issues that we would expect, there's some questions about the licensing of audiology assistants. And there's also some desires to have expanded use of technology on the internet to help with license verification and renewal. And with that, I guess we'll turn to our report from the agency.
Okay, Brenda Felber?
Yes, good afternoon. I am Brenda Felber, and I'm the executive officer for the board. And seated here with me is Alan Mayer. He's an audiologist from Salem. He's our current chair of the board. And behind me is Leslie Pierce Hopper, who is a speech pathologist from Creswell, and she also serves on the board. I'll be making the presentation today, but if you have specific questions about the profession, we can call on their expertise. The Board of Examiners for Speech, Language Pathology, and Audiology seeks to protect the public by licensing and regulating the performance of speech-language pathologists and audiologists. Audiologists and speech-language pathologists are practitioners that work with hearing, speech, and language disorders. These communication disorders are serious because the ability to communicate is our most human characteristic. The board has set two long-term strategic goals for the 1999-2005 planning period. One is to further develop partnerships with other licensing and regulatory agencies to identify most efficient practices for customer service, licensing, investigation, and administration of disciplinary actions. The other goal is to increase administrative efficiency and effectiveness through greater use of technology. The Board of Examiners was created by Oregon Legislature in 1973. The board consists of 7 members, 2 speech-language pathologists, 2 audiologists, 2 public members, and 1 physician with certification from the American Board of Otolaryngology. The office is staffed by 2 people, myself, who is the executive officer. I work at 0.6 FTE, 2/3 time. and one office specialist who works 10 hours a week or one quarter FTE. The agency is comprised of one program to license.
Yes, Senator Trost.
Do you also split your time with another board so that you have a full FTE, or are you just 0.6 FTE?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I am just 0.6 FTE. The office support position is shared with another board. The agency is comprised of one program to license the practitioners. In the office, we review applications, respond to public and licensee inquiries, issue licenses. We monitor professional development, which is the board's term for continuing education, and process renewals on a regular basis. The board also responds to complaints, conducts investigations, and takes appropriate disciplinary action. As John said, the agency is supported solely by application fees, license fees, and miscellaneous fees. And the board does not have any major budgetary issues for the next biennium. The board has established five long-term goals for the next biennium. One is to compose rules for new legislation requiring licensure of speech-language pathology aids as applicable, to investigate the feasibility of using electronic commerce, to promote increased usage of the agency website, to ensure ongoing support for network and database administration and personal computer users, and to continue to require and monitor professional development.
Sure. Yes, Senator Trost. Do you have legislation this session related to speech-language pathology aids, licensing them?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the board is not presenting any legislation. But I understand that the professional organization, the Oregon Speech and Hearing Association, is planning to submit a bill.
This session.
This session, yes.
Would that have some budgetary impact?
I believe that it will. I don't know what that is yet because I have not seen any numbers from the organization.
Are there a considerable number of those folks to be licensed?
I don't know the answer to that yet. I assume that the numbers are probably fairly small.
Thank you.
The agency continues to lease office space from the Department of Administrative Services in the Portland State Office Building and currently shares a suite and resources with seven other health-related licensing boards. As I mentioned earlier, the office support specialist is a shared position between the Naturopathic Licensing Board. That allows, makes better use of our time for training and sharing of space for that staff person. The network administration support is accomplished through an interagency agreement with the Board of Nursing. And the agency also has an agreement with the Oregon Health Division Business Services for providing accounting services. Information management technology has been essential to the operations of this board. The board's been able to maintain low fees and provide better service with less than one full-time equivalent staff by using a database of licensees to track applicants, licensees, and complaints. Use of personal computers for email and an agency website has provided more access and quicker response to the public and to licensees. Also enables us to produce more work in shorter periods of time. We do process database extracts on a routine basis to other state agencies that have the authority to request action on licensees. As I mentioned, we share some resources with the Naturopathic Licensing Board. We also share the network server with that board. And the agency connects to the mainframe in Salem, allowing for electronic timesheet reporting and tracking. The agency has only one system, a Windows NT network with one local database, and we have no major upgrades planned at this time. The network administration support is maintained through the interagency agreement with the Board of Nursing, and the database is maintained and upgraded through a personal services contract. The website maintenance is provided through the Department of Administrative Services, Currently, a visitor to our website may view and obtain an application packet, review rules and regulations, review a page of what's new from the agency, and obtain complaint and continuing education forms. The board's hoping to expand the use of the website in the next biennium through the use of an online directory, and we also hope to recruit new board members through use of the website. And that's it for my overview.
Thank you, Senator Tro.
What level of complaints did you have this biennium?
We had 7 disciplinary cases in 2000. I just counted for last year. 2 of them were complaints. 1 we found not to be in violation of the law, and the other was sent a letter of concern.
That's the only disciplinary action you took?
There was also 5 other cases where licensees failed to respond to the professional development audit in time, and those were treated as disciplinary cases as well.
Do you have any attorney general costs connected with those disciplinary cases?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we did have some. The attorney was... services were used just on an advisory basis to review the documents that we issued.
You had no contested cases?
No, we had no contested cases.
Other questions for Brenda? Thank you. Leslie, do you or Alan wish to speak to the board on any?
I have nothing to say other than if there are any questions regarding audiology.
Okay.
Sure, I do have one.
Certainly. Senator Joe.
What about audiology? Is there some resistance to licensing in that area, or what's the problem?
Mr. Chair and members of the board.
Please identify yourself.
I'm Alan Mayer, and I'm an audiologist here in Salem, and I'm also chairman of the board. There doesn't seem to be a problem with licensing of audiologists. I'm not quite sure what you're meaning by the question.
Well, I guess I sort of saw that there was some question about audiology as one of the tasks that you're performing, and I was wondering what the issue was, if any. You asked whether we had questions about it. Are you an audiologist yourself?
I'm an audiologist, and I'm just not aware of any issues related to our licensing.
Good. Other questions for either members? Apparently not. Thank you very much. And Monica, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, for the record, I'm Monica Brown with the Department of Administrative Services. I'll be talking through this handout that you have before you. I think you've seen this format before. Real quickly, the governor's recommended budget is $153,568 for this agency, and covers 2 part-time positions. As mentioned previously, it's entirely other funds through fees for licensing and renewals, and there is no fee increase proposed for 2001-03. The governor's budget is a 0.5% decrease, so essentially flat from 99-2001. It continues current service levels and adds 2 packages that we'll talk about in a moment. Personal services accounts for about 62% of this budget. In arriving at the governor's budget, we first adjusted for any emergency board actions that occurred through April of 2000. The agency had 1 for employee compensation cost increases for about $5,300. We then adjusted current service level for reduced costs of information system support. We phased out one-time expenditures for expendable property. And we adjusted for position and inflationary costs, standard inflation adjustments. 2 policy packages, the first for technology enhancement. It's adding $2,900 to establish a replacement schedule for the staff's PCs and printers, standard replacement schedule. And then the second package is for board education. It adds $2,000 to enable a staff member or a board member to attend a national conference, 1 in each biennium. And finally, we would like to propose a small technical adjustment. I think in the other health-related licensing boards you've seen before you, there has been an adjustment in risk management. This board has a small adjustment as well to get them to the appropriate level of risk management charges, $121. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back to you for questions.
Fine, thank you. Questions for DAS? Apparently not, and unless you have something else you'd like to tell us, why we'll close the public hearing on speech, language, pathology, and audiology, and I'll open the hearing on, public hearing on State Board of Radiologic Technology. John?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Inside your loose leaf, you'll find another series of handouts. And the handout I'll be following is the Legislative Fiscal Office Overview, Orientation and Background page. If you'll turn to page 2, again, we'll cover what the agency does. The Oregon Board of Radiologic Technology issues licensed qualified applicants, renews licenses, and approves continuing education for these licensees, administers limited permit examinations, and investigates complaints from the public. This board is also 100% other-funded. $406,404 is the governor's recommended budget total. Revenue sources are primarily from initial licenses and renewals, and that constitutes a large part, but there's also some revenue from temporary licenses and permits, other fees, and from the exam that they administer as well. On page 4, there's a chart that shows the historical expenditure trend. There is, in terms of the increase from 9901 to 0103, there is a 15% increase above the current service level for the 0103 budget. And there's some packages that comprise that increase that I'm sure that we'll talk about here in a little bit. Factors that drive costs for the agency. As with all state employees, inflation, there are 2.5 FTE with this board. The demand for services is certainly a factor that influences costs, the number of applicants that are involved, the number of licensees they have to work with, and that's a function of the wages that they can command and the demand for services that's out there. Other factors that control the operating expenses, changes in technology and e-commerce. The board is really anxious to use technology whenever they can to try to minimize their costs and provide better service for the public and for the licensees. Turning back to page 1, we have no budget notes or audit reports or interim studies that were required. There were a few issues, though, considered by the 1999 legislature. There was a question about the level of fees. There's a $4 per month fee that was set, and there was a issue with the move to birth month licensing. And as that works through the system, I guess there's been some interest on what would happen with the operating revenues and whether or not that would be sufficient. It looks like the transition is finishing and they're going to have sufficient revenues for the 2001-2003 biennium with about a 3.9-month operating reserve. The subcommittee had mentioned that they would like a revision of the administrative rules to be conducted, as that has not been done in a while. However, they didn't allocate any additional funds to help with that legal review, and consequently, that has not been undertaken at this time. Finally, the subcommittee unscheduled some funds for our agency shared network administrator until approval was gained from the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology. That also, that approval was gained, and work was done with the work that needed to be done with the agency shared network administrator. Relevant issues, trends, or special challenges that are faced by the board. There's continuing evolution of this technology, radiology technology, that they need to keep up with, and they need to make sure that their licensees keep up with. And so that education requirement is a continual concern and a challenge to the board as well, to make sure that the technology challenges are met. There are going to be continued opportunities for use of the internet and e-commerce to help work with the public in handling complaints and working with the licensees so that they can easily take care of what they need. And again, since we're in a healthcare agency, all of the concerns with maintaining costs and managing the healthcare costs in general are a concern, as with all health-related licensing and healthcare in general. So that's my report.
Hi, any questions for John from members?
Okay, if not, why Leanne Thompson?
Chair Hartung, members of the committee, my name is Leanne Thompson. I'm the executive officer for the Oregon Board of Radiologic Technology. It's nice to see you again. I've given you a four-page handout that follows the outline that we were given. My intention is to say pretty briefly that we are a health-related licensing board. We exist to protect the public insofar as the use of ionizing radiation. That's X-rays, that's radiation therapy. With me here this afternoon is Dr. Christopher Griffin, who's the board's radiologist. The board has seven members, and one of them is a radiologist. Dr. Griffin is also chair of the board's legislative committee, so he's here in that capacity. Organizationally, we have 2.5 staffers. We have a working board. We have folks whose services we purchase through a variety of means, intergovernmental agreements, personal services contracts, that sort of thing. We license two levels of practitioners who use ionizing radiation on human beings. Some of those, about 3/4 of them, are called radiologic technologists, and they have a 2 or 4-year college degree. There's also a smaller number, about 1/4, who are graduates of trade or professional schools. The board is mandated by statute to approve those limited permit courses of instruction, as they're called, and we're working collaboratively with the State Department of Education, who also regulates that for the well-being of the public and the students as well. Our business plans, our goals, we want to improve public safety and protection. We want to improve the customer service to our licensees. We want to enhance the board, agency, and staff efficiency and effectiveness. And so those concerns really govern us as we go about our business. We've included in the budget and in the handout to you some indications of our biennial workload measures. I just point out to the committee that this is complicated by the fact that this information is not available in electronic form as of yet. This is one reason we've been working on updating our database. As it is, we get hard copy numbers, and we've been making hash marks in many cases in order to do these counts. So we're very pleased to have this level of accountability. We hope that with an improved database that we'll have easier and faster accountability in this regard. So I've just included some numbers so that you can see, just generally speaking, the kinds of numbers that we put out. Our links to benchmarks are all secondary. We're a small agency. What we try and do is have an awareness of the overall big picture. There really isn't a benchmark that says protect the safety of vulnerable patients. If there were, then we could speak directly to that, because that is what we're about. So what we try and do is look at the benchmarks and see the ones that appear to have secondary relevance. I would note for the committee that we do have some folks who use what I'd call a career ladder to get into this field. Some of them have been in trouble with the law. The board has taken the stance that we are willing to conditionally license people to give folks who are trying to turn their lives around an opportunity to do that, but we do provide a closer level of supervision to those licensees. Like the other small health-related licensing boards in Portland, we coordinate whenever possible. We share costs. We share ideas. Information technology is key to us. We'll be doing more. We hope to provide better services with an improved database. We have a website. We're not able to update it as regularly as we would like. We've been busy in terms of the implementation of birth month renewal with issuing either credits or refunds of $1 per month to our licensees. That's had to be a hand calculation, so that's been very time-consuming, and it's really restricted our ability to reach out to our stakeholders. What we hope to do in the next biennium's budget, now that we appear to have a stable financial base, is to have packages to upgrade our technology, to involve our stakeholders in an extensive discussion of what services they would like us to have and what they think is a fair price for that, and finally to revise our administrative rules. We would have liked to have taken care of that before. It's simply too expensive and time-consuming a process to do without additional revenue.
Senator Trump, what's your assessment of what's wrong with your administrative rules? They're out of date, I presume. Do they not keep up with the technology, or they describe something you no longer do, or what?
Chair Hartung, Senator Trowe, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And they're not as...
Dated, they don't describe what you do.
That I characterize that as true. And they're not as clear as we would like. Mm-hmm. They've been added to incrementally, and so...
They get in the way, then, of your disciplining your people?
Chair Hartung, Senator Trowe, they make it take longer. We have to figure out exactly how to use them properly, and if they were cleanly and clearly written in a current standard, that would discipline would in fact be easier.
Well, often administrative rules reflect the statute that describes what you do. Do you have to change the statute also to change your administrative rules?
Chair Hartung, Senator Trowe, we're not contemplating statutory changes at this time. If in the course of revising those administrative rules, people point to a statute and say we should change this, then we'll bring that back to the next session.
Have you had your attorneys assess your administrative rules so you have some idea of what needs to be changed?
Chair Hartung, Senator Trowe, he has begun that task.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of your activities and responsibilities is investigating complaints from the public. How many complaints do you receive on a biennial basis?
Chair Hartung, Representative Winters, we don't have exact figures on that because this is information that we hold on an Excel spreadsheet rather than being part of our database. So that as we collect the data, we did some calculations yesterday, and I have information for the committee. Would it please you to see those?
And along with how many you receive, what's the resolution of them?
While we're passing these out, to be a radio logic technology person, do you have to have a medical degree?
Chair Hartung?
No.
Sure. Hi, my name is Chris Griffin, and you have to have 2 to 4 years of education Past high school.
What kind of education? Just relating to this profession?
Yes.
Okay.
Dedicated, yes.
Follow up. Some of that in on-the-job training, like if you're actually up at the University of Oregon Health Science Center and happen to be working in radiology, then that counts as a part of the...
Part of it is a hands-on, so there are externships or rotations through hospitals, yes.
Is there a formal, in our educational setting, in addition to the OJT or...
I'm not quite sure how much exactly is classroom, but there's quite a bit of classroom also, so it's a combination of the two, but I couldn't tell you the exact percentages.
Are you planning to have some standards, or what's the requirement? If I came to you as an applicant, what would I have to present to you in order to be certified or to be licensed?
Chair Hartung, Representative Winters, again, we have two levels of licensure, and there is an accrediting agency that looks at the 2 to 4 year programs. The board is the agency that looks at the limited permit courses of instruction. There are clinical and didactic requirements at both levels. In terms of externship or hands-on practical experience, there are requirements at both levels. There's a national professional registry also for the radiologic technologists, the 2 to 4 year educated folk. Is that sufficient?
Are you done?
I'm just trying to, and I'll let Representative Smith follow up, just trying to get a clear, concise as to how I would access if I wanted to be licensed, and that's what I was trying to get at.
Chair Hartung, Representative Winters, we have a list that we give out to people. There are two higher education entities in Oregon. PCC, Portland Community College, has a 2-year program. OIT has a 4-year program down in Medford. And there's a varying number of limited permit courses of instruction. Some are in Portland. Some are, there's one in Eugene. We had, a circuit rider limited permit course that left us because he wanted a job that actually had benefits. So there's about half a dozen around the state right now.
You had a follow-up, and I just want another question. Because somewhere in the literature I was reading that salary tends to be an issue, wages is an issue.
Chair Hartung, Representative Winters, I think Dr. Griffin is probably more able to speak to that than I.
Well, I know that salary is a big issue in attracting people into radiologic technology right now, but I couldn't give you exact figures.
You don't have the ranges?
No, I don't. I don't.
See, someone asked a question about the investigative cases. Who was that?
I did.
Representative.
But, you know, I had asked a question, and it gave us a list, and it would be nice if we had what the resolution of those cases were, you know, how many were open and mm-hmm. how many were closed, and what's the action taken.
Could you have that for us tomorrow? We're going to be in work session.
Certainly.
Tomorrow, okay.
Certainly.
Anything else, Representative?
No, that's
okay.
Thank you.
A question. Do we have a board of anesthesiologists, or is that under the medical examiners?
It's under medical examiners.
For the physicians? That would be board of medical examiners, sir.
So the only anesthesiologists we have are under that.
Well, there are nurse anesthetists, too, and I'm not sure how they fit in under licensing. And I couldn't tell you whether they're licensed, but I would say that they probably are.
You know, I don't believe that bigger is better necessarily, but we've looked at 6 boards here in the last 3 days, and some of them are quite small, and maybe that's good, but in your opinion, is there some efficiencies available if there was a grouping of, and I don't even know what the natural the grouping would be or merging, is there any advantage in that?
That's a great question, actually, and I don't know, well, one would assume that there are efficiencies with combining the smaller boards together, but in one of the handouts, it has that table showing, for example, the health licensing office and all of the boards that are included in that, and it shows that the annual fees are much higher on the average than ours, so if it's on the efficiency and cost basis, I wouldn't be able to explain why the annual fees of these committees in the health licensing office are higher. But one would think that there would be more efficiency. I don't know. I'd have to look at it and study it. So.
Do you have any comment on that?
Chair Hartung, this question came up, I think Representative Schrader raised it last time insofar as information technology was concerned. And so we really looked at that issue. The response came, there is only economy of scale if there's unused capacity. If there's no unused capacity, there's no economy of scale.
That's true. Senator?
Notice that you've changed your fee collection to $4 per month. Is that the way it works per person? And what does that do to your ending balance and your cash flow?
Chair Hartung, Senator Tro, it's really been a challenge to manage this transition to birth month renewal. $4 a month is the shorthand way of talking about it. It's enormously complicated for such a small board. What we tried to do was to go to a birth month renewal because the board members, the members of our board and the members of the professional society said, yes, it's a good thing to be tied to birth month renewal because our national professional registry is also tied to a birth month renewal. That will make it easier for technologists. I know of no other board that provides that level of service. What it does is key our operations to the need that was expressed by the members of the profession to be in sync with their national registry for continuing education purposes and just ease of recollecting when it was time to renew. What that means is we have to calculate the fee for every individual because for both initial and continuing licensure, we have to figure it out for every single person. We tried to give them the tables or the figures and let them work it out.
They can't do it.
Not a good solution. No. Not a good solution. And we have to pay $3 for every refund that we issue. So we're spending a lot of money refunding overpayments or delaying things unnecessarily. Usually folks won't be able to figure it out and they'll say, well, I'll just pay more. And so then it costs us $3 that we can't recoup when we issue that refund. So that's another thing that we're hoping to do with technology is to make it so that someone said, well, can't your website just automatically calculate that? Well, again, if we can get our database and our technology in sync, then we hope to do that, to offer that improved level of customer service. But it's a very complicated system for what we would think would be relatively simple operation.
Do your members object to the level of fees?
Chair Hartung, Senator Tro, some do. Most recognize that we provide excellent customer service. They appreciate the speed with which we operate. Some folks are unhappy. We do the very best we can with everybody.
We have to raise your fees in the near future?
Chair Hartung, Senator Tro, the reason to have the package to go out and have the conversation with our stakeholders is what level of service do you want us to have? What do you think is a reasonable price for that? And so we hope by having a comprehensive conversation that folks will be more likely to come to agreement.
Are you going to do that before you revise your administrative rules?
Chair Hartung, Senator Tro, I hadn't contemplated that, but I'm open to advice.
It would seem like it might make sense to do that first.
I also think it would, Mr. Chair, I think it would be helpful to know the salary range of the individuals that we're talking about, because, you know, the comment that other boards were charging 200 or 100, but the income level may be dramatically higher than, if I understand the group, and I can kind of remember when I worked at OSHQ a long time ago, when the OJTs were done, you're not talking about somebody that's making comparable to the physician. And so I think that has to be considered when one is talking about licensing and what have you. So
that's an excellent point. And that's why on that graph I left the Board of Medical Examiners off, and then dentistry and the nursing. And I tried to choose a number of the boards that might be a little bit closer in salary. I overheard recently that beginning salary for radiology techs is about, if I get this correct, is about $14 to $16 an hour.
I don't think we've turned to that handout.
Okay.
Oh, it's here.
In your packet.
Okay, so we're ahead of the curve.
It's titled Oregon Board of Radiologic Technology Information Sheet. It'll be about page 3 or 4.
Oh.
So the health licensing office was that unified board.
Oh, okay. Page 3.
All the other licensing areas have higher standards.
I see.
So actually, this was done yesterday, and I went using the websites and tried to choose a number of boards that weren't particularly highly paid. And as you can see, the annual fees, even in the unified board, are, for the most part, a lot higher than our $48 a year. So anyway, I tried to, again, choose a number of boards that weren't particularly highly paid. And that also helps us put in perspective what $48 a year is in the scheme of medical-related boards. And I'd like to, sir, I'd like to get back to the question about the unified board, because that's a great question.
Uh-huh.
It's not only the financial argument, but it's also, I've been doing some outreach lately, and there's a very sincere concern over the maintenance of the quality of the standards of radiology technology. So, in other words, if the board in charge were not mainly or almost entirely radiologic technologists, then they have concern over the maintenance of their profession and the qualities, right?
Okay.
Thank you. Do you have any further comments?
No, okay. Sir.
All right, let's move along then to DAS, George Naughton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am George Naughton with the Department of Administrative Services. The handout I'm going to be working off looks like this, and I think you're all at this point getting fairly familiar with that. We have 9 slides. This budget, from our perspective, is actually fairly straightforward. On page 2, you'll see the year-to-year comparison, starting with the 97-99 actuals and moving to the governor's recommended budget. As Mr. Fletcher pointed out, and I would reiterate, just generically, this is a 12.4% increase over the legislatively approved budget for this current biennium. On page 3, you'll see that this is a completely other-funded agency through the licensing fees and other fees. Page 4, just to point out that there are 3 policy packages for your consideration here. First one, Ms. Thompson mentioned that they have some database and other computer applications they're proposing to upgrade, increasing stakeholder involvement and giving, soliciting some more information on what the board should be doing and what services do the licensees see value in, and then finally revising the board's administrative rules. And you would expect that those would be in conjunction with one another so that we do the services the licensees want at the same time that we're looking at the administrative rule change and what that should be. There's only one program unit for this agency, and on page 6 you'll see that 60% of their budget goes to the personal services expenditures of those 2.5 full-time equivalent positions. Page 7 just walks you through the budget and how we came up with current service level. We had one emergency board action, which was the salary adjustment, which you'll see with all state agencies. We had some phase-ins and phase-outs of one-time expenditures, or in the case of the phase-in, the administrative position that is related to the network is being phased in for around $1,000. It's fairly small. And then we have other standard inflationary and priceless adjustments. The three policy packages you'll see there mentioned below. What I would like to turn to is on page 8, just to highlight for you Senator Cho's question specifically. We did have a fee increase during the 99-01 biennium. We are not proposing any fee increases during the 01-03 biennium. We do have one technical adjustment, which was that the risk assessment charges for liability purposes were changed. We actually made an error when we were doing the budget originally, and we need to have an increase of $359 of other funds. It's fairly simple, but there are a number of small licensing boards that will have the same adjustment. With that, Mr. Chair, we would have a revised governor's recommended budget of $406,763 other funds. And Mr. Chair, that is the end of our.
Okay. Any questions for George?
Question on the ending balance. Is the ending balance a satisfactory one?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trell, currently we're sitting with an ending balance of around $70,000, which we do think, given that we've moved to a birth month renewal cycle and the revenues are spread over the biennium, we think it will be okay.
Okay, other questions? No? George, thank you. Jerry Crummel, would you like to come and tell us some things or give us some material or both?
Just thinking of calling it upstairs. I was busy eating the truffles, actually.
Yeah, come and sit and identify yourself, please, and tell us what you have here.
Chair Hartung, committee, I am, for the record, my name is Jerry Crummel. I am an LRT, which is a licensed radiologic technologist, and a registered radiologic technologist in radiology and mammography. And your first page has the wrong chair on it, so I have a page to put the correct chair on the paper. But in your opinion, if this fee increase or this increase of the budget is wanted, that's, I'm not against that. It's just that I think there's been some FTEs that have not necessarily been used correctly that might have made their budget a little bit less for the FTEs. And one of the concerns is that the FTE, the administrative, they, in 1997, they were sent out a newsletter that informed that the increase had already been taken, had already been started. And as you will see, the attached web page that I printed out yesterday, the increase is still on the web page, and they're talking about using web page and so forth and so on. If you look at the top of that web page, it was last updated 2/20 of 98. And the legislature did not approve the increase, so on the website it says it is $5 per month when it is actually $4 per month. And the reason that they're having to spend more time now is because they made this mistake, so now they have to go back and refund everybody or make a credit when I renew in 4 years. Well, actually it'll be 2 years from now. But they have not notified the general membership of this changes in the fees, and that could have been done for no cost on the website. And as far as changing the birth month, including myself, I had to pay $235 January of 99, and that makes my renewal good for 4 years till 2003. So nobody knows whether I've done my continuing education or not. I have, because I'm a member of the ARRT, which is the American Registry of Radiologic Technologists. So I know that I've done it, but there's no way in the state that they are, have any knowledge of whether anybody who renewed for the 3 years or 4 years has updated their continuing education. And this is another thing that will take time for them to go through that will cause more FTE usage. And in the House Bill 2178, which passed and was signed by the governor, it allowed the ARRT, which is the American Registry of Radiologic Technologists, their continuing education to be approved and accepted by the board. And now they're spending time accepting, trying to go through and redo what's already been done. And as you notice in some of the handouts that I've given you, if I take off from work and go and take 8 hours of continuing education, the board and may decide that I only need 4 hours of continuing education credit for that, which the ART or the ASRT has already approved it for the 8 hours. And you'll see some in there for 16 hours that are cut back, or 18 hours that are cut back to 9 hours. And also you'll see that I included some from the employees or ads for employment that the ARRT must be in almost every state. And I just pulled this out of a book. I didn't try to give you every state because that would be too much information. And in answer to your question, as far as the training, I had to go to intensive training for 2 years. I taught X-ray technology at the University of Tennessee, and it is a profession. It's not just on-the-job training. And as far as mammographers go, which you will see is the FDA, they have to be approved by the ARRT. I have to have a mammography approval license from the ARRT. And a mammographer will start at $20 an hour in some cases. You'll also see in some of those ads that there are 3,500 and 5,000 sign-on bonuses because there is a lack of radiologic technologists. And you'll also see that there's an Oregon ad that also requires ARRT. And I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Cohen? Yes, Representative Schrader.
How come in these ads I don't see anything like in my little old profession, you have to have a state license, you know, OVM, Oregon Veterinary Medicals. I see here ART, I don't see OBRT listed at all. Why is that not required of employers? Do you have any idea?
If it's in the state of Oregon, you can't practice without being an OBRT member.
So that's understood then.
That's understood. In other states, in Maryland, you'll notice they'll say, and the Maryland license, or in California, it would be and the California, but they all were. In fact, you cannot work in an accredited hospital without the ARRT.
Okay, other questions? Thank you very much. Okay, I will close the public hearing on the State Board of Radiologic Technology, the public hearing, and is there any business to come before this subcommittee? If not, tomorrow, you know, we will have six of these boards in work session, so I hope you all can be here to have an opportunity to vote on that, and also remind you of the opportunity to visit Sabin Skills Center Friday morning. Have you all had some communication from Senator Duncan or Senator Metzger?
No.
You haven't? Okay.
No.
Well, the short of it is you can get a map if you're going to drive there, or there's transportation leaving here at 8 a.m. in front of the Capitol, and be back at 11 o'clock. It's an hour up, an hour of program, and an hour back.
It couldn't get us there 30 minutes earlier and get us back 30 minutes earlier.
Talk to Senator Duncan about that. That's his his project, and there's Senator Metzger. If there's no other business come before this meeting, we will.
Thank you.